Hello everyone! Hi, how are ya? Welcome back to Faded Tales. I know I was missing last week. That was because I wasn't feeling good, but we're back for season 2, episode 2. And if you guys don't know, this is your first time. Hi, my name is Zoya. I'm your host, and this is Faded Tales. This is the podcast where we explore the lives of endangered animals and often overlooked animals as well, diving into their stories, roles in nature, and the challenges that they face. And I'm so excited to have you guys all here, and it's like been a while actually for me to record and actually write a script. This might be still be short, but I'm still gonna make it the best of your time. So today our episode, what is it gonna be? Well, today our episode, we're taking a trip into the dense tropical rainforest of Southeast Asia. And our spotlight for this episode, well, it's an animal that you may have never heard of. It's called the binturong. It's a creature so unique that it's often mistaken for a mix of animals. Also known as the bear cat, the binturong isn't a bear or a cat, but entirely a different kind of wonder. By the end of this episode, you'll understand why these quirky, tree-dwelling mammals are worth our attention and protection. And before we dive in, don't forget to grab your warm drink, your cuddle in your blanket on this very, very cold day. Or if you just have this playing in the background while you study, just enjoy it. Don't forget to rehydrate yourself, alright? Alright. And now, let's jump right in. Hello, everybody. Okay, here we go. Let's start painting a picture of what the binturong is. Let's start this. All right? Imagine a creature with a shaggy black fur of a bear, the inquisitive face of a cat, and a tail that seems to have a mind of its own. That is the binturong in a nutshell, or at least how it appears in the first glance. Scientifically, the binturong belongs to the viviparid. Okay. I'm not knowing how to pronounce this properly. I hope I pronounce this properly soon. Let me see. I'm gonna... Just one moment, guys. I'm just gonna see if I can actually pronounce this properly. Viverrid. Sorry, yeah. Viverrid, apparently. It's called the Viverrid. Alright, it's the Viverrid family. even I don't know how to pronounce these words sometimes. Well, it also includes a bunch of different animals, which I am not going to try and pronounce and waste our time. Actually, I might try to pronounce it. Give me a minute. Okay, apparently it also, I forgot that. It's civets and gynets. I'm assuming those are also under animals. They're the viverrid family. Oh my god, I already forgot how to pronounce it, guys. What is wrong with me? Woo! Okay. Anyway, let's get back to the information. These mammals are native to the forests of South and Southeast Asia, with the range spanning from India to Nepal to the Philippines and Indonesia. They thrive in tropical rainforests, spending much of their time high up in the trees. Adult binturongs can grow up at about 2 to 3 feet long, not counting their tail, which adds about another 2 to 3 feet, if you can believe that. Their tails are also not just long, they're prehensive, meaning that they can grasp and hold objects, acting as like a fifth limb. This feature is vital for their survival, as it helps them climb, balance, and navigate the canopy. Their appearance is equally captivating. The thick black fur covers their entire body, also having a little tufts of white whiskers and ear edges. And they also have a small round eyes that give them a curious and slightly mischievous look, making them one of the more endearing residents of the rainforest. The binturong is the epitome of an arboreal lifestyle. They're perfectly adapted to living among the trees, rarely coming down to the ground unless it's necessary. The binturong is a true master of the treetops. Their prehensive tail is like a Swiss army knife for its survival. It helps them grasp the branches, balance while walking on narrow tree limbs, and assist in climbing down trees head first. A skill not all animals possess. Yeah, they can climb down trees head first, kind of like a squirrel. Ventrungs are arboreal, which means that they spend the majority of their lives living in the trees. But they're not just tree climbers, they're tree dwellers. They rest on sturdy branches, lounge on high platforms, and move through the forest canopy with ease. Their nocturnal habits mean they're mostly active during the night. When the sun sets and the forest comes alive with the sounds of insects and night birds, the binturong begins its search for food. What's on the menu? Well, binturongs are omnivores with a diverse palate. Their diet includes fruits, leaves, shoots, insects, small mammals, birds, and eggs. But their absolute favorite is figs. These fruits are not just a treat, they're a staple food for binturongs and play a crucial role in the ecosystem, which we'll discuss more about later. On the ground, binturongs might seem slow and clumsy, but in the trees, they're agile and deliberate. Their movements are calculated, almost cautious, and which makes them excellent at avoiding predators. Now, I want to get quickly into I don't know, if you don't know what a binturong is before this podcast, you might not know this, but if you actually have heard of the binturong, you guys might know this. This is the most famous thing about the binturong. They smell like popcorn. Yes, you hear me right. Popcorn. But don't let that delightful scent fool you. It's not because they're munching on buttery snacks or if they actually went to the movie theater. The popcorn aroma comes from a chemical compound called 2-AP. I'm not going to pronounce the full title because I don't want to mispronounce it again. But it is found, it's also found, and you guessed it, butter popcorn. This compound is present in their urine, actually, and while they may sound odd, it's actually a quite clever adaptation. Binturongs use their popcorn-scented urine to mark their territory. They rub their tails on branches, leaves, and other surfaces to leave behind this distinctive smell. It's like nature's version of a scent calling card. It's letting the other animals know, hey, this territory is mine. But the scent is not just practical. It is also a way for binturongs to recognize each other. Each individual has its own unique variation of the smell, much like a fingerprint. Imagine walking through the dense rainforest and suddenly catching the warm, buttery smell of popcorn. It's surreal, isn't it? That is the magic of the binturong. Beyond the quirky smell, binturongs are vital players in the ecosystem. They're what scientists call, I know you guys know this because I've mentioned in many episodes, it's a keystone species. This is means their presence significantly impacts the environment and other species. One of the most important roles of binturongs play is seed dispersers. When they eat fruits like figs, the seeds pass through their digestive system and are deposited elsewhere in the forest through the droppings. This natural process helps new plants grow and ensures the survival of current tree species. Figs in particular are a cornerstone of many tropical ecosystems. They provide food for countless animals, from birds to monkeys to insects. By spreading fig seeds, binturongs help maintain the forest biodiversity. Without them, entire ecosystems could be at risk. In a way, binturongs are kind of like gardeners, planting seeds wherever they go to help sustain the forest they call home. And now, unfortunately, this is one of the reasons why they are on this podcast. Binturongs face a growing number of threats that put their population at risk. The biggest challenge is a habitat loss. The rainforests they live in are being cleared out at an alarming rate for agriculture, logging, and palm oil plantations. Deforestation doesn't just destroy their homes. It also fragments their habitats, making it harder for binturongs to find food, mates, and shelter. Another significant threat is illegal wildlife trade. Binturongs are hunted for their meat and fur, and sometimes are captured to be sold as exotic pets. In some parts of Southeast Asia, their body parts are usually used in traditional medicine, further endangering their population. Currently, the binturong is listed as vulnerable on the IUCN Red List, with populations declining across their range, conservation efforts are critical to ensure their survival. But there is some hope, though, that zoos actually do participate. There are some zoos around the world that actually participate in the breeding programs that help boost binturong's populations. While these programs are no substitution for wild habitats, they provide a safety net for the species and give them an opportunity to educate the public about their plight. I remember an example of this, I would say, is I think it's in the North Carolina Zoo. It was an episode of Secrets of the Zoo on National Geographic I watched, where the binturong actually came to the Asia exhibit of a zoo, and it was actually pretty interesting to actually see the animal, because I've only seen drawings of animations of the binturong, so I never actually got to see it. It was actually a really cute creature. Yeah. So it was kind of fun. I don't know if you guys know this, but some of the animals I talk about, I actually already know. You might not know them, but I already know them because I was a little bit of an animal nerd as a kid. I watched Zaboomafoo, if you guys know that, it's a classic. There's the Wildcrats, there's still going on, surprisingly. And then there was the original one, the Krab Brothers, which I actually watched as well, late at night on my TV. It's fun. If you guys want to learn more about animals, just search, watch those old shows, learn more about them, or just come on this podcast, I'll learn about more. We'll see. Anyway, let's get back to the podcast. Where were we? Yes, we were here. Well, it's actually, 13 minutes, seriously? Oh man, I'm getting shorter and shorter these days. Oh well. I guess there's not much I have on binturongs, but yeah. So I guess before we wrap up, I'm gonna lighten the mood a bit with some fun facts. Here we go. They are lazy. One of them is actually they're lazy by nature. Binturongs spend up to 60% of their day lounging or sleeping just on trees. And also another one is that their whiskers their long sensitive whiskers actually help them feel the way through the forest in the dark. And also they have a unique sound. So binturongs make a variety of vocalizations from chuckles to growls to communicate. Let me see if I can pull up a sound of a binturong so you guys can actually hear what it sounds like. Yeah, that's what a binturong sounds like. May seem weird, but it's kind of cool. It's kind of cute. I'm kidding. Okay, but yeah, it sounds creepy, but they actually looks cute to me. They look cute. Anyway, another one is that they're clumsy sometimes. Even though I told you guys they're agile and they're really good climbers, they occasionally tumble. There's so much about the binturong I want to tell you guys. I think I'm gonna look up more fun facts to tell you guys. Let's see, I don't have much on my list, but let me see. Fun facts about... They are known to be fearless when confronted by humans. I know that. That's kind of obvious. I knew that. I'm gonna look a little bit more on these fun facts. I think that's all I have for fun facts. Baby Binturongs are called Binlets. That's another one they have, Binlets. And, yeah, that's pretty much... That's the only fun fact I've got. Great. Hang on. Slaying a turtle, active at night, yeah. Actually, mothers will stay... This is another one. Mothers will often stay with their offspring until the young are big enough to fend for themselves, usually around 6 to 8 weeks old. However, the mother may also stay with their young until they are ready to breed at around 2.5 years old. Huh, that's actually another thing. I did not have what you can do section, but this actually has a what you can do section, so I might as well tell you guys what you can do. Well, how you can help this animal? Reduce, reuse, recycle. That's another one. So you can cut back on single-use uses and find creative ways to reuse the products at the end of their life cycle. Choose recycling over trash when possible. The other one is practice ecotourism by being an advocate for the environment. When you're on vacation, during your travels, support, visit, or volunteer at other organizations to protect the wildlife. Smart shop too. Avoid buying products made from animals, which could support poaching and illegal wildlife trade. That's also known. And what I always say is share the story of this animal with others by simply just telling your family about this species. It can contribute to the all overall protection. Like, hey, have you heard about this animal? I just learned about this animal today, you can say. And this is, you can also make projects about it, I guess. There's another one. Well, excuse me. Sorry. I did not describe it well, because pretty much it's kind of like a raccoon, maskless raccoon, that's what they are. They're long, wide, muscular bodies. They have a lot. Anyway, I'm just trying to make this podcast longer for you guys, because I want it to be longer. Because... for some reason I have it short today, and I already made a short episode last week, so why not? I'm at 19 minutes, so yay, let's try to go to the end. Woo! Anyway, why Binturongs matter is what I have next. At the end of the day, Binturongs are more than just quirky animals with a popcorn smell. They are vital to the ecosystem and a reminder for the incredible diversity of life on our planet. Protecting them means protecting the rainforest they inhabit and the countless species that depend on them. Thank you for joining me, guys. Oh, man. Can't believe it's almost the end. Dang. Give me a second. I need the outro. Oh, no. Where's the outro? Anyway, yeah. Yep. Here we go. Yep. It's the outro, guys. Yeah. Hey, guys. Okay, thank you guys for joining me on this journey into the world of the Binturong. If you guys enjoy this episode, don't forget to come back next week and every bit, and also share what you've learned about today. Every little bit of awareness helps, and these amazing animals and the challenges they face. Next week, I don't know what I have planned exactly. But I am hoping it will be either the Fusa or the Kinkajou. Yeah, it's one of those animals. I don't know if you guys heard of it, Kinkajou or Fusa. But yeah, it'll be one of these those two. Anyway, until next time. I am Zoya, and this is Faded Tales. Remember, every creature, no matter how they smell or how small... Or how they smell, or how obscure they are, every animal has a story worth telling. Till the end, this is goodbye. See you guys next week for episode 3. Bye!